Hey guys, it's Friday and guess who's back? I'm doing my first visual, everybody. Hey, give me five, high five. Hoo-hoo-hoo. So thank you for being the best part of Front Row with Jackie Rowe. I have an esteemed guest here today who was visiting with my cousin. I'll let him do the introduction because he's so phenomenal. Oh my God. I had him for a couple of days and I mean, he's mind blowing. I know we have all these motivational speakers and we follow all these people, but he's on a different level. I really think that he has something that everybody would love to know and hear about. With no further ado, please introduce yourself to my audience.
Peace everybody. My name is Tehut9. I'm a writer, a screenwriter, filmmaker, director. I have a couple books.
Elaborate.
I'm a thinker. If I sum myself up, the best way to describe myself is that I'm a thinker. And the way I define myself as a thinker is one who inspires others to think about things they weren't even thinking about thinking.
You heard that, guys? You see why I have him? My first visual guest. Now let's go back. Tell everybody about your directing producer life, you know, before we can dive into all the other things that you have done.
Well, you know, as a creative, and that's what I consider myself as artistically, I'm a creative. Some of us are productive. We produce things and, you know, but I'm a creative. I like to take things from the state where they seem like they're nothing and then make them into something. Mm-hmm. And so for years I was expressing myself through poetry. Mm-hmm. And poetry became somewhat limited in terms of like how much you could say.
Well, give us a little snippet real quick. Give us a quick snippet.
In the equation of everything, they say that everything is the root of everything. Mm-hmm. So it matters not that time is not matter, but time matters anyway. Mm-hmm. Like the last time I stepped out of my mind and was told that I'm out of my mind for saying that I can step out of my mind.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
So interesting.
Like, I play around with words and I use that as a way to, you know, get people to look at things that I see, but they may not see.
Right, correct. You know? I got you.
Like we were talking a couple of days ago, and we were talking about how words are used to create spells.
Right.
Because the only thing you can do with words is spell them.
Right.
You know what I mean? The words are formed by letters, and the letters form words, and the words form sentences, and the sentences make paragraphs, and the paragraphs mm-hmm. tell the story, and the story, you know.
Que sera, sera. Yes.
So we speak words. And we use words to do just about everything. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a job because somebody say you're hired.
Right.
You know what I mean? You get married because you say I do.
Interesting.
It's with words. And so for me, I fell in love with words and I love to express myself with them. And I was doing that through poetry, which is a much bigger art form than people even recognize. Because
okay.
a lot of times when you say poetry, I don't like poetry, but they, you know, they don't realize that they love poetry.
Right.
Because if just you love music, words. If any musical expression is poetry.
Okay.
Hip-hop, R&B, reggae, it's all poetry.
Okay.
And so people tell me initially that, you know, you can't make any money with poetry. I'm like, but poetry is making so much money already.
Right. And you don't even know it.
If I take the beat away from any of these music, it's just a poem you're reading.
Right, exactly. Because I always tell all of my artists, you know, especially one of them, Mama Luke, he's such a good lyricist. I said, Mama Luke, whenever you stop, start writing. Because you're telling stories.
Yes.
You are a storyteller.
That's what
so
it
I
is.
Totally understand. So now, when did you jump in from poetry to
filmmaking?
Yeah.
So yeah, like I was saying, like I was doing the circuits. First, I started in a college where I went upstate New York to a school called SUNY Oswego. Mm-hmm. And I was writing, you know, initially as I started.
But hold up, stop. Do y'all see that? He is a college graduate. Very important. Keep going.
Yeah. So, you know, after I finished high school, I went to Jamaica. My mom sent me to Jamaica where I was born mm-hmm. to visit for about 2 weeks. And I saw my brother performing this art form called dub poetry.
What's his name?
His name is Rasatiba.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, well, I could do that. So I said that in almost like a challenging way. Like, you know, he's not doing anything. I could do the same thing. And then it's like I have to prove it to myself I could do it.
Right.
So I didn't really know that I had that in me.
Mm-hmm.
But I wrote my first piece. And then when I came back to America, I just kept on writing it. And it became a cathartic thing for me. Like, it would help me to just clear the energy.
Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? Instead of, it was my release. It was my therapy to
your own world. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
So I didn't get into anything abusive. You know what I mean? I didn't stay depressed for long because I had my poetry.
Right,
I could just dump the energy.
You found a way to funnel through your own, you know, whatever you were going through. You found your own little portal to express yourself, so to speak.
Yes.
Wonderful.
And it took me many, many different places on the college campus and opened me up to a whole another world where people, you know, because it makes you, it kind of pulls on the philosophical side of you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, your ideas become, you know, become more extrapolated. They become bigger. Mm-hmm. You take a small thing and become a big thing. But after performing, you know, in school and coming back to New York after school, I was on the circuit and they had a thing called slam poetry, which kind of changed the whole feel of expression because it became competitive.
Okay.
And so it had rules.
In what way?
It had all these rules to it. Like before, like you write a poem, you just write a poem. It doesn't matter if it's long. It doesn't matter if it's short. You don't have, there's no rules.
Right.
You say whatever you want to say. You use words however you want to. You're just expressing yourself.
Okay, get
but
it.
Once it became competitive, it became 3 minutes. You can't, the poem couldn't be longer than 3 minutes.
Okay.
And then it kind of evolved with other things around it because people would now, poets would now start to adjust themselves based off what they were seeing that was working with audiences.
Okay.
So people was doing sexual stuff and that was giving them high scores or they were doing funny stuff and that was, you know, or political stuff. So it wasn't really about you expressing your genuine emotions anymore.
No more, right.
It was about you trying to win, so you're going to do what seems like it's working.
But
it's
kind of
like
what rappers,
these rappers are doing today. Like, they may not be, have had an experience, a tough lifestyle growing up, but because that's what they think works,
right?
They want to be tough. They want to be gangsters. They want to be, you know what I'm saying?
They follow the trends.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that became limiting for me, and I had much more stories, larger stories that I wanted to tell, and so filmmaking, I kind of stumbled into it because there was another friend of mine who he was also an artist, and we just happened to run into each other one day and we was talking about, like, you know, making a movie.
So he
had an idea and I said, oh, you know what, I've never done this before, but it's something that I'm interested in.
So you had no experience?
No experience.
Wow. this is great. Go ahead.
So We took on the task to do it, and I told him that I would be the writer, you know, because I know how to tell stories.
Right. What year was this?
This was around 2003, 2004.
Okay. And you were still while in college?
No, I was finished with college.
Oh, you're finished with
college? I finished with college in 1997. Mm-hmm. But I came back to Brooklyn. I had one class to finish up, and I finished up at Brooklyn College. So, you know, altogether, everything concluded in around 1998.
Okay, awesome.
So, yeah, and then, you know, I just became this well-known poet on the scene, you know, going around doing open mic sets until I started my own company and started highlighting myself because...
What was the name of your company back then?
Sun Ra Sun Production, and it became my film company, too.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, because, you know, when I first started doing poetry, you know, just like with a lot of people, you're just starting out in an area... That is, people have established themselves. Sometimes you don't get the look or the welcome or the invitation to things, you know, somebody's been out there. So I was so eager and so excited to just express myself and show this the gift that I felt that I had. But you know, people were around before me, like, you know, I don't wanna use the regular vernacular and call them a hater because maybe they just was being protective of things that they had built.
Right.
So I started my own thing.
Right.
And instead of waiting for them to feature me, I started featuring myself.
Wow. So let me ask you a little bit about school and college. Were you a great, like, an excellent A student? How was your grades? Because, I mean, you speak so well, you know, educated. And, of course, you went to college. So how did you do in school?
Well, you know, like, school school is an interesting place because, like, I did well in school. I've always, like, been somewhat prodigious in terms of, like, you know, what I knew. Like, I just know certain things, and so, you know,
instinctual,
and I learn quickly. I pick up things quickly, and if I'm interested, I go deeper and deeper into stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in school, like, I learned a lot of stuff from the professors and the teachers that I had, but most of the stuff I learned was based on my own initiative.
Okay.
And that's what I like to tell people, that because I don't hang anything on going to college to make myself feel like I'm better than somebody who didn't.
Okay.
Because a lot of people go to school and they don't know anything.
Exactly. Exactly my point.
You know what I'm saying? So, I won't give them credit for everything that I am.
Right.
Because they'll take that and make it seem like, oh. Mm-hmm. And then people sometimes just like put you in a box. Say, oh, you went to college. I'm the way I am because I read.
Right.
I listen and then I apply the stuff that I learn.
Excellent. Excellent.
But so, going back into how I got into filmmaking, so we started writing this movie called Foreign, mm-hmm. which is a story about a guy coming from Jamaica for the first time, living in Brooklyn, and not knowing the culture here and just the culture clash.
Right.
And okay. So, you know, I wrote and directed that with a friend of mine. And then, you know, it was sloppy,
mm-hmm.
as far as the filmmaking went, mm-hmm. but the story was good.
What was the friend's name?
His name was, at the time he was calling himself Paco, but then he later on changed his name to Michael Fox.
Okay.
And Michael Fox, huh? Yeah, Michael Fox. He kind of played off the other character, but he spelled it different.
Okay.
And so that movie, like I said, the actual production of it,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't the best.
Okay.
But the story was so good that it resonated with people, especially people from the Caribbean.
What was it about? What was the storyline about?
It was about a guy coming to America for the first time from the islands and just the culture clash. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And then he got into some trouble and then he kind of found himself back towards the end of it. Mm. And so it was called Foreign. And
so that's just given for some people that don't know, the culture clash is coming from a foreign country, yeah. coming to the American big world of opportunity, but not understanding the culture, yes. of America. I'm quite sure everybody understands that because everybody went through that. That came from a foreign country. You would tease, oh, you're Jamaican, or you're foreign, yes. or you're Haitian, or you're Spanish. Everybody went through that. So that was good. I have to watch that.
That was good. And it was really like a comedic drama.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it had like a lot of laughs in it, but you know, there were moments, like very visceral moments in it where you're watching and you're like, damn, I went through that. Or I know somebody that went
exactly.
through that.
Some, a lot of people could identify. That's why I said that. Coming from the foreign country to America, we all went through it. Yeah. So that's good.
And then after that, the engine was turned on, the car was, you know, we was loaded up fully and we wanted to keep on going. So we tackled another project, and the other project, the second film I did was a film called Bashment, The Fork in the Road.
Right.
And that film, I had, with this film now, instead of doing the shaky production, we got some money. Mm. We had an investor give us a small budget, but we used it to buy cameras and proper lighting and everything. And then we brought on some people to help us with the actual filmmaking.
Because I heard the promotions.
Yes.
I would hear the promotions on the radio. Yes. I heard it. I was like, wow.
We pushed that one out. And I mean, the first film that we had done, when we did it, we printed up 2,000 DVDs. And I had developed a philosophy how to do direct sales.
Mm-hmm.
So I taught the team how to do that. We printed up T-shirts. And we went around Brooklyn. We sold out all the DVDs within
about a month. And wow. Wow, that's amazing. Congratulations.
When we got ready to reprint and redo the DVDs, they were bootlegged all over Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah, they were bootlegged everywhere.
Oh, my God.
So the funny thing is, I was initially excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like, that showed you that you had something good, sort of like Shatters.
Yes. So Shatters hadn't come out yet, but Shatters came out shortly after, I think, after that movie came out.
Okay.
All right. When did Shatters come out? Do anybody remember?
Shatters came out, that was like in about...
They had VHS when Shatters came out.
Yeah, that was like two.
So yeah, Shatters came out before it actually.
Shatters came out before.
Because we were doing DVDs. I remember when Shatters came out, people was doing bootlegs with VHS tapes.
Right.
Of Shatters. So.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But we had DVD and bootlegged the DVD. So the next movie, Bashment had a storyline about these four friends in Brooklyn. They were Jamaican, but they were here.
Okay.
And it was just a coming of age story and just dealing with choices and consequences.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And we had all these different characters playing off each other, and you know, it was very dynamic and it was powerful. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the message in it was really, really strong and people really loved it. It exploded all across, not just across
this
Brooklyn.
Is the third one.
This is second
the
one.
Second one, Bashment.
Bashment. And
yes.
So Bashment came out, it was being compared with Shatters.
Oh wow.
Even though Shatters had a much bigger budget,
mm-hmm.
it was being compared with Shatters, and the argument still goes. There's some people that said Bashment was a better story, Shatters was a better production.
Okay.
Because like the story, like, and that's what I always let rest my laurels on. I always tell people, listen, the story is what matters.
Right.
Because when you don't have a budget, mm-hmm. when you don't have all the tools that you need, like a lot of people have budget, they have the nice cameras and everything, but the story sucks. So it looks good, but the story isn't good. So you don't watch it more than once, or you know, whatever.
Right.
But we had good stories. That, you know, we the story had twists. It had turn. Mm. It had elements that pulled you in and held you. And I did when we did that abashment. I did something unique. I didn't want to have any profanity in it. Mm-hmm. So I had to figure out a way how to make the characters aggressive,
mm-hmm.
and make you feel.